once again, we're just so glad that you're here, whether you're a member of our church family or a guest. I'll just remind you again, if you're a guest with us, don't forget to fill out the yellow card. And the offering tray has already gone by, but I'll be standing near the door, and you can always hand it to me. Green side up. And please continue this wonderful fellowship after our time of formal worship. Well, go ahead and take your Bibles out now and turn to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah chapter 12 as we continue this study of Nehemiah that we've entitled Seeing What God Can Do Through You. And today, we want to talk about harnessing the power of joy. I heard about a lady who was really stressed out at work. She was overworked. She was physically exhausted. She was mentally burned out. But she knew her boss wouldn't give her any time off, so she thought, well, the only way to do this is to kind of act like I've lost it, you know, and I'm having a meltdown. And so she got on top of her desk in this large office with many cubicles and many workers, and she put her hands over her head like this in a circle and just started turning in a circle this way. And she just continued to do this until all eyes were on her. And finally, the boss saw this, and he goes over, and he's all like, "What in the world are you doing?" And the lady said, "Well, I'm a light bulb, and I'm giving light to the office." Well, the boss got concerned, thought, wow, she's really cracked finally. She said, "Okay, listen, I tell you what, you need to go home, lie down, and get some rest." The lady climbed down off her desk and gathered her stuff and was on her way out the door when another lady coworker started following her, going right behind her. And the boss said, "Hey, wait a minute, where are you going?" And the lady said, "Well, I got to go home too. I can't be expected to work in the dark." I'm so glad that you're able to laugh, especially at my jokes. I just think that's because being a happy person and the ability to smile and laugh is not only one of the most attractive and magnetic qualities someone can have, when it is joined with integrity and diligence, it is the recipe for success in any field. You think about it. The classes of the teacher with a sense of humor will always be full. The happy and smiling waiter is always going to get more tips. Everyone in the office wants to work with the optimist, that encouraging coworker. The sales rep who enjoys their work and truly enjoys people will never lack customers. However, most importantly, the Christian who is genuinely happy and able to smile and laugh at themselves and the world, or maybe in spite of it, is going to make the greatest impact for Jesus Christ. In fact, after a lifetime of studying God's Word, I would say that next to love, joy is the greatest evidence for the presence of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. Look at the top of your outline. The Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 5, verse 22, God's Spirit makes us happy. And then Proverbs 17, verse 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Nehemiah 8:10, which we've studied in this study of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I mean, that really may explain why so many of us believers feel so weak and tired all the time. And then the words of Jesus himself In John chapter 15, verse 11, I've told you these things so that you can have the same joy I have, so that your joy will be made the fullest possible joy. That's what God wants for you. That's what he wants his people to be, happy. But I know you're thinking, oh, Jim, you got to be kidding. Have you heard the news this week? Have you read the paper? Have you been on the internet at all? This world is so filled with tragedy and suffering and oppression and sadness. And beyond that, I've got so many problems. I've got so many disappointments and so much stress. How can I possibly be happy? Here's the great news. Because you are trusting a God who is beyond all of that. Because the joy that he gives is different from this world's joy. It is something that's only found in him. And it's something that you and I can choose in spite of our circumstances. The joy that God brings us to is beyond circumstances. Because he's bigger and stronger and greater than those circumstances. Look on your outline. This is why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, starting in verse 4 through verse 6, always be glad if there's no bad news. See, I always try to trick you with this one, right? You know? Okay, let's read it again. Okay, always be glad if all your problems are solved. No. There is no conditions on this statement. This is an imperative. He says, always be glad because of the Lord. Choose to be happy because of your God. I'll say it again. Be glad. Always be gentle with others. The Lord will soon be here. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thankful hearts, offer up your prayers and requests to God. Then because you belong to Christ Jesus, God will bless you with peace that no one can completely understand. And this peace will control the way you think and feel. That's the difference. And then here's this promise. Again on your outline, Job chapter 8, verse 21. God will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Amen. That's what God has done for his people Israel in Nehemiah. And you've heard me say before, again and again, we've said that Nehemiah is essentially about how God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And that's why it's so relevant to our lives. But by the time we get to chapter 12, that's happened. God's people have done the amazing. God has done through them the impossible. They've returned from slavery and exile in a foreign land. They've rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem, the walls and the city. After 140 years of Jerusalem, the city of God, being a ghost town, now it's back to thriving. There is government. There is law and order. There is infrastructure. There's new homes, a booming economy, hundreds of thousands of people moving back to the city again. So now what is there to do? Great news. The Lord tells his people, I want you to celebrate. And that's not unusual. You know, we're often not looking for this, but I would encourage you sometime just to kind of go through your Bible, and maybe if you're reading through the Bible in a year or any kind of Bible study, and just kind of pick out all the times God tells his people to be happy or to celebrate or to feast or to party. You'll be amazed how often God's people are doing that. And it's ironic because that's not exactly what we're known for, amen? Especially by the world. When the world thinks of a Christian, they generally don't think of a fun person. Somebody who's happy and likes to laugh. rather someone who's somber, serious, stern, kind of spoils a good time. And I realize that that's because we Christians and the Christian life are often misunderstood by the world and often misrepresented by even our own folks. But could it be that you and I have just allowed the pressure to get to us? That we've just become, because of that, overly serious and sour and stressed out and kind of joyless people? Well, if so, here's what you and I can do about it. Look at on your outline ways that we can harness the power of joy. Now look at Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. So now what they're involved in now is like, okay, this has all come together, and now they are going to dedicate this amazing accomplishment to God. The Levites sought out from where they lived, and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving, with music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The singers also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem. Down to verse 31, Nehemiah writes, I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. Down to verse 43. And on that day they offered great sacrificing, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. The fact that it just says the women and children were included in this was the idea that everybody was rejoicing. It didn't matter who you were. And the best way to describe this scene is exuberant elation. I mean, just imagine this. I mean, tens of thousands of people just dancing and singing and yelling and milling around on the wall, around the wall, below the wall, you know, just everywhere. And it was so loud. The cheering was so loud, they could be heard miles away. That's an amazing thing. You know, I know in San Diego, Laura and I live just, it was actually a couple of miles away from a high school football stadium. But it was amazing. I mean, it was kind of far, but if the wind was just right, you could hear cheers. And I remember the first time I heard that, you know, I thought it was an incoming attacking army or something. You know, I heard this, ah, you know, and that's what it was like here. They were so excited. Why? Because of God, what God had done for them and in them and through them. And I know, given just the day-to-day challenges that you and I face, how can we be like this? I mean, how can we get our fire and our enthusiasm for the Lord back? How can we restore the power or the joy of our salvation? Look at three ways I've got on your outline, okay? First thing you and I can do is live forgiven. Live forgiven. One of the most important and really the first parts of this celebration was that they were to be purified by the Lord. Look at chapter 12, verse 30. When the priests and the Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. Why? Why do we have to begin or need to begin there? Because being stuck in feeling guilty and regretting the past makes you miserable. You cannot be happy if you're living in that, if that's what you're thinking about. If you're going to really let go and really be happy and really be joyful and harness the power of all that, you have to know that you are completely forgiven by God. Amen. For everything you've done in the past and everything you will do in the future, the past is gone. You can move on. You can enjoy your life right now. I love this. Psalm 103, verse 12 is on your outline. He has removed our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west. How far is that? That's your homework assignment for next Sunday. I want somebody to find out how far the east is from the west. My guess is it's going to take you a while. You might get back very tired. Oh. God's saying it's gone. Let it go. Let me purify you. Let me forgive you. Let me free you. That's the only way to harness the power of joy. Right now, refuse to allow your past, your sin, your mistakes, whatever it is, whatever baggage you're carrying, to weigh you down for one more minute by receiving the complete forgiveness and freedom of God. Live forgiven. Live forgiven. Number two, second way to harness the power of joy is focus on the good. Focus on the good. One man once wrote, two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. What's the difference? What they focused on. And if you're always looking at all the ways you've been disappointed in your life, all the things that didn't work out, all the people that hurt you, all the bad things that have ever happened to you, you're going to see mud and be a miserable person and a miserable witness for Jesus. But if you choose to focus on the good and how good the Lord has been to you, all the things that he has, all the good things he's given you, all the good things that he's enabled you to do, all the good people he's put in your life, you can't help but smile. You can't help but be brought back to some kind of laughter and happiness. This week I found that scientists have found that laughter releases a youth hormone that actually makes you look and feel younger. So, that's a motivation to laugh at my jokes. Right? Even the ones that are so-so. You'll leave here looking younger. I also found that the most common factor among people who live into their 90s was not diet. It wasn't exercise, but attitude. They chose to be happy. I heard about one minister who was chatting with people who were kind of lined up after the worship service to talk to him, and it was kind of a long line, and he noticed this handsome, elderly African-American gentleman who had been waiting patiently for some time. And when he finally got to talk to the man, he found out he was 106 years old. But he said he looked 40 years younger than he was. He said he was happy and his mind was sharp. And the minister kind of apologized and said, well, sir, you know, we could have got you a chair to sit down while you waited. And the man waved it off and said, I don't need to sit down. I'll sit down when I'm old. And the minister said, this man didn't have one wrinkle on his face. And he told him, I can't believe you're 106. You could pass for 70. And the elderly gentleman put his hand on the minister's shoulder and said, Joel, black don't crack. And then as he was leaving, he said goodbye to the group. As he walked away, he said, see you next year. I mean, come on, no wonder he lived to be 106, right? No wonder he's so healthy. His faith, his joy, his sense of humor kept him young. Look for the good in your life. Look for the reasons to be happy. Find several things every day to laugh about. I've told you this before, but I read where the average four-year-old laughs like 300 times a day. And the average 40-year-old laughs like four times a day. See, I think laughter is rooted in an attitude of gratitude. You know, we can be lighthearted because God's in control. You know, all the things that we're twisted up about and worried, what about this and what about that and what about, he's got it. And I think this whole celebration of climbing on the wall and singing and dancing, it was all about that. What were they standing on? What were they gathered around? One of the most amazing things that God had done for them in their lives. And they were looking at it. And they couldn't help but step back and think about where they were and where they are now and say, wow, the Lord has been good to us. How long has it been since you just stopped, got out of your busy life and just kind of stepped back and looked around at your family, your friends, your home, your job, and most of all, your eternal hope in Jesus? Just kind of counted your blessings and said, wow, the Lord sure has been good to me. I think that'll change the trajectory of your day and your life. And when you think about the opposite, living upset, worried, stressed out, it doesn't solve your problems. It doesn't help you. It doesn't make life easier. All that does is make you and the people around you miserable. Be a part of the solution. Look for the good and laugh with the Lord. Look at on your outline, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. He says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. That's the reason why. Third way to harness the power of joy is be a giver. Be a giver. Live forgiven. Focus on the good and just be a giver. Look at on your outline, I gave you the Message translation of chapter 12, verse 43. That day they offered great sacrifices, an exuberant celebration because God had filled them with great joy. I think one of the most important marks of a happy and thankful person is generosity toward God and others. And here's the truth that's so counterintuitive and so counter to what our world is telling us. And that is that being generous actually makes you more happy. I know. Every day the messages are, no. The more people give to you, the more you get, the happier you will be. Well, don't take my word for it. I put it on your outline. One of the fathers of modern psychology and psychiatry, Dr. Eric Fromm, once said, the essential difference between the unhappy, neurotic type person and him of great joy is the difference between get and give. And it might be possible to argue with Dr. Fromm, but difficult to argue with the Lord Jesus himself. Look on your outline, Acts 20, verse 35. The Lord Jesus himself said, there is more happiness in giving than receiving. How do you know that? Because God is the happiest being in the universe, and he is a giver. Generosity also frees us from enslavement to self and possessions, which results in misery. You know what makes it easier? Is to do what these Israelites did. And that is, you dedicate everything to God. You give it to Him. Think of the wall. I mean, all the time and the effort. I mean, they finished it in 52 days, which is really a miracle. But the amount of work and the amount of people that were involved in that, and to step back and see the finished product, and to be concerned, well, what's going to happen to it? I mean, what if enemies attack it again? I mean, it's happened before. That's why we had to rebuild it. What about this and what about that? And it's God's. Lord, we dedicate this to You. What if You just said about everything that you're worrying about, stressed out about, upset about, anything that's stealing your joy, you just say, Lord, this is Yours. I know You'll take good care of it. This week I read an interesting story about author and minister Gordon MacDonald. He was serving in a church in New York City, and every day he would ride the same bus to the church and home, and it always had the same bus driver, and they kind of became friends. And one day the bus driver complained to Gordon MacDonald, you know, you've got it a lot better than me. You have an interesting job where you travel to different places. I just drive this bus, same old bus, up and down the same old streets, day after day. And MacDonald told the bus driver that what he was doing could be ministry too, if he changed the way he looked at it. He told him, every day when you first get on the bus, before anyone else gets on, dedicate this bus to God for that day. Declare it to be a sanctuary for God. Consecrate it to God's glory, and then act like this is a place where God dwells. Well, Gordon MacDonald went on a trip, came back several weeks later, saw that same bus driver, and this is what the bus driver said. You transformed my life. I've been doing what you said every day, and it's made me see my job and my life in an entirely new perspective. That's where the joy is. Dedicated to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make us joyful people. Restore the joy of our salvation. We know it only comes from You. Right now, help us to see our lives, our families, our jobs, everything we do in a new light. Something that's done because of You and for You. Help us to be thankful and happy as we dedicate every day and everything to You. I ask that You fill us with Your Holy Spirit and Your joy so that we can be a light of hope to this very dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.